in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we want to thank you for joining us. Here on the Refresh radio program, we're going to be diving back into Psalm 43 today. We're actually going to get to the part of this psalm that is the reason we're here in the first place. So we're going to be reading that entire psalm, all five verses of it. If you ever have to memorize a chapter, a whole chapter of the Bible, Psalm 43 is a great place to start. Not that many verses. But we're going to be looking at the reason why we're talking about praise in Psalm 43 today. So I want to say thank you, first of all, to the folks of Wyrick Air, Dennis and Carla and their team. Do a great job of providing three exceptional services. They work on electrical issues. They work on air conditioning issues. And believe it or not, they even work on heating issues. And, you know, those of us who realize that 40 degrees is cold weather down here, some of you might need to have your heater worked on soon. But if you do, the folks of Wyrick Air, WEIRICH Air. They're based here in Rockledge, but they travel all throughout the county. They provide exceptional professional sales services and repairs. They've been doing that for around 50 years. They work primarily in residential settings, but they also do some light commercial work as well. And they strive to provide you with the best climate control and power supply that you can get at an affordable price. A number to that you could reach them at is 321-632-9538. I always like my car repairman and I like my air conditioning repairman to be people who I can trust. Dennis pastors a church in Geneva, which is up on Highway 50 in between Titusville and Sanford, I think that is. It's not 50, it's 46. 46, sorry about that. And pastors a church that has been ministering to the needs of that community. He preaches the Word of God, loves the God of the Word, and he brings biblical values and business practices to his work as well. And we want to thank them for being friends of the Refresh radio program. So Psalm 43 says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." So we have been talking about that as believers, we should let God's light and God's truth be very influencing forces in our life. And we need to let them lead us, not us control them. So you drive sheep, you drive cattle, but you lead sheep. And we want to be people who are going to lead us to life, who are led to life and godliness instead of led to death. There's an article that I have in my files, and I don't really remember the exact date, but it talked about there was this massive group of sheep. Several shepherds had come together, and all of the sheep were together in this very lush area. Something spooked one of the sheep, and it actually took off, and it ran off a cliff, and all of the other sheep started following it. And I believe it was something like 1,300 out of the 1,500 sheep that went over the edge of the cliff, they all died. The only reason some of them survived is that there were such a mass of sheep bodies that it cushioned the fall of some of them that did not, they went over the cliff, they just didn't die. And so, you know, who knows, it might have been a bug or a snake or something like that. Something spooked one sheep, and that sheep became the leader, and it led to the downfall of a lot of people. If we let God's truth and God's word and God's presence guide us, it's going to get us to a desirable destination, a godly destination. It's going to lead us back to the community of God. It's going to lead us back to the house of God, going to lead us back to the altar of God, and it's going to lead us back to the presence of God, where we will experience joy, exceeding joy. That's joy on overflow, joy beyond capacity to contain. And then the psalmist adds this, "And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God." Now, I want to make it clear, praise is not optional. Praise is a natural byproduct of us entering into covenant relationship with God and experiencing His presence. We should be thankful, because the reason we are there is because He's made it possible for us to be there. And we should always remember, we weren't a little lost, we were hopelessly lost, except for the God of all hope made hope available to us. So if you, when you come to church, when you are going about your day, if you never bring any praise to God, you need to go back and make sure that you are asking God to bring revelation into your life and bring truth into your life, because those two factors are going to lead you to praising God. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't sing. You are not alone. I don't happen to particularly care for the sound of my voice when it comes to singing. It's better than it once was, but it's also not as good as it once was. You know, at one point in time, it was really bad. It's not that bad anymore, but when I had to lead worship, I think I did a little better back in the day than now that my vocal cords have a few decades of experience on them. So I saw this article a week or two ago about a person who was a very popular singer and entertainer back several decades ago, and he was going to resume touring. He hadn't toured in a long time. And he said, I had to go back and learn the songs that I became famous for singing again. And he said, I used to play the guitar, and I had to go back and relearn how to play the guitar. Because in the decades since the peak of his notoriety till now, he had ceased playing the guitar. He had not been really singing a lot. And so he decided he was going to redevelop those giftings that had once been very active in his life, but had been dormant for several years. Our responsibility and praise is not to put on a concert for God. He's got angels that sing flawlessly. he's got the redeemed of the Lord around the throne, and they sing passionately because they have been redeemed. That's what our future looks like. So it's not that God is looking for us to impress him with a quality of the sound of our voice musically, but instead it's the attitude of our heart. God is the one who invented worship. Okay? He assigned worship to be a primary aspect in the throne room. Now, I will tell you that if we're not careful, we can allow our giftings to cause us to be more impressed with ourselves than we are with the one who gave us the gift, and that will get you in the same kind of trouble that it got Lucifer in. He was the worship leader of heaven, and he said, I think I deserve to be on the throne more than God does. Can never be more impressed with the creation than we are with the Creator. So I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to sing. I did not sing in the choir in school. I tried to learn how to play the guitar. I tried to learn how to play the piano. I wasn't very good at either of those instruments. Athletics was more of my thing. Probably had a physique more adequately suited for the choir than the sports teams. But I loved playing sports, so that's what I did. So our voice is something that we should all use to praise God. But there's a statement here in verse number 4, Psalm 43:4, and it says, and on the harp I will praise you. So if you are musically gifted, you should be using that. Worship or music was primarily used to bring glory and honor to God. It's not for entertainment. It's primarily used for worship. It was also used for memorizing scripture. And so to this day, I can still sing certain passages from the Word of God because as a teenager, someone wrote the musical notes and the singing notes, and because our brain remembers music because it impacts us intellectually and emotionally and spiritually many times, I can still remember those passages. If you tell me to quote them, I might not be able to quote them, but I can sing them. And every once in a while, I try and sing a song here, and sometimes I don't necessarily hit the right key, but my heart is to bring praise and illumination to a passage in doing so. So I'm not too worried about passing someone's musical critique. Now, if you ask me to play a harp, if you ask me to play the drums, if you ask me to play a guitar, I'm not going to be very good at using those instruments, but I want to encourage you that if you are instrumentally gifted, use those gifts for God, not for fame. There is a long history going all the way back to when I was a kid of people who were using their musical giftings, sometimes in gospel music endeavors, sometimes in secular endeavors. It always pained me. I remember a person very famous back in the 60s and 70s had this incredible voice. And it always bothered me when they would say, yeah, I learned to sing growing up in the church, and then they were out there using their gifts for the world. I will tell you, the world probably pays better financially, but it has a cost factor. It also troubles me when people are using their giftings and they said, well, I want to use Christian music as my venue, as my avenue to becoming famous and getting rich. Okay. I'm not opposed to Christian musicians. I just think that the term Christian and celebrity do not go well together. And whether it's a celebrity preacher or a celebrity singer or a celebrity musician, we've got to remember that those gifts came from God. It's not about us. It's about Him. And we need to keep ourselves humble before God. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee for you. For God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. So I want you to look at this passage for just a moment and see that the harp is not only an instrument, it's also a tool. So I want to approach this last little bit of Psalm 43, which we're going to finish today, from looking at it and saying, what tools do you have that you put in place that are going to result in you praising God, your God? So there's a difference between He is God and He's my God. It's not a difference in who He is, but it's a difference in how we understand Him and how we function in His presence. So, again, I'm not gifted at playing a harp, a banjo, a guitar, a piano. My kids have some little, or my grandkids, not my kids, my grandchildren have these little electronic toys that they play, and you punch a button, and I can't even make that sound the way that I want to make it sound. So I'm challenged. My toolbox instrumentally is pretty low. But there are some other tools that you might have, and so I know how to find Christian worship on my phone. I know how to find Christian praise and worship of just about any genre digitally. And I can stop and say, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to use the tools in my toolbox to praise my God. So I have some tools in my garage, and some of those tools are nostalgic. In other words, they belonged to people who were near and dear to me. I've got, those tools I have because of this nostalgia reason. And then I've got some other tools that I had that I used to use them when I was having to repair and fix things. And, you know, I talk about this sometimes when I mention JITS Concrete. Every once in a while, someone will show a video of them pouring concrete, and I get intrigued because I've had to do that a little bit. And then all of a sudden it dawns on me, oh, yeah, the people at JITS Concrete do that better than I do, and I don't intend on ever utilizing those tools ever again. So I don't want you to have tools that empower you to praise and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and you aren't utilizing them. Bring all of the tools that you have so that your ability to praise the Lord God Almighty is excelling and becoming better. You know, you're excellent today, but you're going to be better at it tomorrow. You're just getting warmed up. When my kids were in symphonic band, they would go up there and or symphonic orchestra, I guess it was, jazz band symphonic orchestra. Before they would start performing, there were all of these people who were getting their lips warmed up, their fingers warmed up, their instruments suitable for playing, and it was a cacophony of sound. Everybody was playing and doing different scales and things like that. So when it came time to put forth the polished product, it sounded the way that it was supposed to sound. Don't just praise God once a week. Praise Him all the time. We had a piano growing up. It was a massive upright piano. I remember the material it was made out of. It wasn't thin pieces of wood. It was really thick pieces of wood. It was an upright. It didn't take up much space, which was a good thing because our house wasn't all that large. But it was mammoth to try and move. And I remember on certain occasions that some family members would come over and they would start playing the piano, not singing the songs that were popular on the radio, but the songs that were popular, singing them in church. And I want to encourage you, use the tools that God has given you to praise Him instead of trying to draw people away. You need to pray for some of the people in our musical industry. Some of them have some serious issues in their life, and some have completely made the decision to walk away from God. And I've even heard some that they're like, okay, I'm going to keep a reminder to myself of how I can get back to God so that I can get back just as soon as I need to. And in the meantime, they're making loads and loads of money, but their life is desperately in need of Jesus. Let me just put it that way. So the psalmist asks himself again, one last time here, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? It is impossible to praise God and stay discouraged at the same time. It's impossible to praise God and complain at the same time. And the psalmist reminds himself, have confident expectation in God, hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. I am going to praise Him in church, and I will praise Him in good times. I will praise Him in difficult times. One thing I can say is I will praise the Lord. It might not be ideal settings right now, but I shall yet praise Him. And by the way, I'm not only going to do that personally, I'll also be leading worship at Merit Assembly of God this week. And so I'm going to praise Him. If I get bad news, I'm going to praise Him. If I get good news, I'm going to praise Him. For I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. That's the phrase that originally caught my attention a few decades ago about Psalm 42 and 43, is that this passage, these questions and the resolution are mentioned almost identically twice in Psalm 42, once in Psalm 43. The second and the third time are both identical, and it describes that I shall yet praise Him, capital H, the help of my countenance and my God. He is my God. He is the ever-present help in time of trouble. And when we are praising Him and God starts helping us, it will impact our countenance. It will cause us to change. It will move us from mad to glad. It will move us from mourning to rejoicing. It will move us from sorrow into singing. When you realize that God is showing up on your behalf, it causes rejoicing. I'm having something that comes back to my memory from a family years ago. It was a family that was living out in the country, and lot of moisture, a lot of bugs. And whenever those two things combine, one of the things that can happen is you can end up getting swarmed with termites. And I remember this family from church. It was another state. And they came to church and they were talking. They said, we were standing outside and we began to be swarmed by termites. And they said, so we started praying. And within a few seconds of praying, the sky, the atmosphere around their house began to change as insects that feed on termites began to flood their zone and began to feast on the termites that were swarming. I've had some experiences with termite swarms. I don't like them. I don't like to see them around my house or anything like that. But I will tell you this, if you ever get swarmed by termites, God has a solution. He can help you with that situation because he's Lord over every creation. In fact, on our next broadcast, we're going to be going into Psalm 50, and it talks about how God knows every creature, and he can mobilize help from any place. And I will tell you, God's help is better than man's help because God knows more than man does. Sometimes his help will come in the form of men and women and boys and girls. Sometimes his help comes from supernatural sources, but all the time his help should result in us praising God and letting that help impact our countenance and being thankful for the God who saves us. It's Thursday. Press forward. Believe in Jesus. Pray bold prayers of faith. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio Program. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whale and Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whale and Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.